Amen. Well, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Luke in your Bibles, if you have those with you. And the book of Luke, this Christmas story, you've heard it before. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years, which is great that the story never changes. And today we're going to look at it over these next 3 weeks. Well, today, next week, and on Christmas Eve. To see how sometimes God does things in unexpected ways, in ways that aren't really planned. It wasn't what we thought about. Probably we had a different idea, but God chose to act in a different way, in a different time. And so this book, the book of Luke, was written to a particular individual, perhaps. We're going to read in just a second that it was written to a man named Theophilus. Well, Theophilus means lover of God, one who loves God. Well, some scholars believe that there was an actual person named Theophilus. Other scholars believe that maybe it was just sort of a pseudonym for everyone who loves God, so that everyone who loves God would be certain of the things that were stated in this book and that have been taught to us. And so with that in mind, let's look at this unexpected birth that's going to happen that precedes the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. So that's the purpose, that we would have certainty in the things that we are taught. And that's what he wanted for Theophilus. It would be know what we've been taught. And so he says, as he launches his book, this account of the birth of John the Baptist. Verse 5, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." It is good news. John's parents, and that John is John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, not to be confused with John, the guy who wrote the book of John and some other books in the New Testament, namely 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation. Different people. Just like in the modern world, John is a common name. Common name then, okay? So this is John the Baptizer, the cousin of Jesus. John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were both born of a priestly order. Zechariah, the dad, was a priest. The mom, Elizabeth, descended from Aaron. Way back in the Old Testament, Aaron was the house of all the priests in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. So both mom and dad are of a priestly line. They're godly, blameless. They follow the commandments. They do all the things that they are supposed to do as godly, faith-driven people. The one challenge in their life, perhaps one of several, but probably the biggest challenge, particularly in their culture and era, was they had no children and no prospect of children. But in this moment, Zechariah is on duty, and his team, we'll call it the team, his little team of priests was on duty to lead prayer and worship in the temple that day. Now, I remember studying this when I came back to prepare for this sermon, but I'd kind of forgotten this little tidbit because I learned it in seminary, and that was in the 1900s. So it was a while back. So I'd kind of forgotten about this little detail that Zechariah, this was probably only one of two times in his entire life that his division of priests would actually be called on to lead, because there were so many priests. So they took turns, and because there were so many, his division probably only two times in his life. And by the providence of God, he gets chosen by lot. That's holy gambling. Okay, that's what that is. By the providence of God, he gets chosen to be the one to go into the temple and lead the prayers, to burn the incense, to offer prayers on behalf of the nation of Israel. That's his task. The only time in his entire you fear, awe, wonder, fear would take over. And Luke, a theme of Luke says, do not fear. He writes it 15 times, over 15 times in his book. The angel says, do not fear. Do not fear. Why? Because your prayer has been answered. Now, in reading the passage, and Luke is, of course, counting on eyewitnesses to tell him what happened. Your prayer has been answered. The next phrase is, your wife will bear a son. So was Zechariah's prayer for a son? Was his prayer perhaps larger in scope for a Messiah for his people? Was his prayer simply for his people, the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, to return to the Lord? We don't know the content of the prayer, but I'm confident that whatever the prayer was, it was answered. And oh, by the way, you're going to have a kid. But what? He pauses there, like, and not just are you going to have a child, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. And I'm going to tell you about John. So this is the angel telling the dad about his son before his son is born. That's amazing. What an amazing miracle that you would know about your child before he or she is born. He says six things about John that would come to be true. Actually, were true at conception. John is going to be a joy, bring joy and gladness to your family. Well, that's true. If you're a parent in the room, you remember when your child was born, and how much excitement you had of that. Our oldest son, I remember when he was born, I made it 3 minutes before he was born. We were in different cities. That's a whole long story. But I was so excited to have made it to the birth. Excited to make it to the birth and then to see him. What a thrill. And then our second son, excited, like middle of the night craziness. And then our third son was like, everything went smooth and easy. Yay, finally, yes. Wonderful, like it's all of them are exciting. And then Brandy said, no more, three boys, thank you very much. Joy and gladness is filled. We're filled with joy and gladness. So John is gonna bring joy and gladness to his parents. He's gonna be great in the sight of the Lord. There was this special recognition that John was gonna have that no one else would have. special recognition. He's going to be set apart in a unique way, great in the sight of the Lord. And then kind of on a practical matter, he wouldn't drink wine or strong drink. And it seems kind of odd to kind of throw that in the middle of there because all these other things are pretty spiritually based. But the reason that's true is that this is in the spirit of Elijah. Remember, he goes on to talk about how he's in the spirit and power of Elijah. Well, Elijah had a very sobering message, a message that was of utmost urgency. And so he, Elijah, and also now John need to be sober-minded because their message is of utmost urgency. The Messiah is coming. There he is, the Lamb of God. The one who takes away the sin of the world. That's his message. The most important message in the world. So I have to be sober-minded. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. If you remember, as we keep reading, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, John's mom, while she's pregnant, Mary walks in, pregnant with Jesus, and what does John do in the womb? He leaps in the middle of the womb. Like he knew, he recognized the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, even in the womb. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb. He would be the one to turn many Israelites back to God. He would call them to repentance. He would call them to faith. And then he would be the one to go before the Lord. He would be the forerunner of the Messiah. He would be the one to make ready the way of the Lord, fulfilling the prophecy in Malachi chapter 3 and the spirit of Elijah, that he would be the one to prepare the way so that the Messiah could come and fulfill his prophecies and take away the sin of the world. That was John's role. The one who makes a way, prepares the way. And as he writes this, it's almost as if Luke is also kind of looking into the future to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, that final day when Christ's kingdom would reign supreme. And so the angel tells Zechariah all these things about his son that is going to be born. And like all of us, when someone tells us something good that's going to happen, we're like, oh yeah, great, awesome, I'm on board. He's like, point of order? I'm an old guy. Like, at least he was gracious to his wife. He says, she's advanced in years. He didn't call her old. She's advanced in years, seasoned, if you will, mature. Wise, all those euphemisms. What? We're past, that ship has sailed, sir. And this is my favorite part of this little episode here, verse 19. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. Little man, do you know who I am? Like, do you know who I am? I'm Gabriel, the guy that stands at the right hand of God. Like, I'm in the presence of God all the time, and he, God, the creator of the universe, he told me to come and bring you this good news. This is one of the great moments of the, do you know who I am? Like, we try it sometimes. Like with police officers or other professionals, like, do you know who I am? This is the ultimate here. Like, I'm an angel of, not just an angel, I'm the angel. I'm like, I'm the man here, and I came to bring you good news. So let's get on board with the good news of God's great plan for all of humanity. That your son, that you didn't think you would ever have, oh, by the way, you're going to have a child, a son. His name is John. You know what? He's going to set the stage for the Messiah, the Holy One of God, the very one you've been praying for how many years? Oh, 400 years since the last time you heard from God. 400 years, the nation of Israel had been praying. God was silent. 400 years they had been gathering. God was silent. 400 years they had been seeking and searching, and God was silent. And Gabriel stands before Zechariah and says, hey, it's coming. Now's the time. Get ready. You're going to be a part of the blessing for the entire world. And then the part we're not going to read, he proclaims silence over Zechariah because of Zechariah's unbelief. You're going to be mute for a while because you didn't believe me. And that's God's grace at work, because if you and I were in charge and we'd been telling him, like, we'll just pick somebody else. If you don't believe me, I'm just going to go to the next guy who's offering incense next week. Like, that's what we would do. But God is gracious and his plan comes through perfectly. Zechariah, your son is going to make a way for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Holy One of God, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the forerunner. That is your son. He's coming. And he's going to make a way so that Jesus will be born in a miraculous way. Perfect. Born of a virgin. Live perfectly. Die on a cross to pay the penalty of the world's sins, of your sin and my sin, and then rise from the dead and be seated at the right hand of the Father. The greatest news ever. Not just good news, great news. Your son is going to make a way for that. That's who's being born. I doubt Zechariah went into that worship time expecting God to do anything. I bet he didn't expect anything. I wonder how often we walk into worship not expecting God to do anything. And God showed up in his life in an amazing way. Blessed him, encouraged him, disciplined him, honored him, changed the world through him as a conduit for the Messiah. And so I want to just remind you quickly today as we think about sort of the unexpected nature of God. Because this passage doesn't make a lot of sense, and sometimes God doesn't make sense to us. Like, it doesn't make sense that God would allow two old people to have a baby. That doesn't make sense. But it happened here. And so let me remind you of just a couple of truths that hopefully in this Christmas season you can hold on to if life isn't perfect. One, God's silence doesn't mean he's absent. I mentioned a moment ago that God had been silent to the nation of Israel for 400 years. But he was with them the whole time. And the same is true in your life. The same was true in Zechariah and Elizabeth's life. They had been praying and praying and praying and praying. And I'm sure at some point they weren't sure if they should keep praying. God was silent, but he was with them the entire time. Because often his timing doesn't meet our expectations. Doesn't meet our expectations. And so just because God is silent doesn't mean he's absent. The other thing, God likes to operate in the impossible. Two old people having a baby. Right? That's wonderful. That's amazing. That's a miraculous event. Sometimes God likes to operate in the impossible. And his timing was perfect. I could go, if we had another 2 hours, I could tell you all about how the timing of John the Baptist and Jesus' birth was perfect in the landscape of human history. But most of you don't want to be here for 2 hours. Me neither. There's an amazing timing here, not just timing in their life personally as senior adults, but also timing in human history. That God acted in the perfect time when they thought it was impossible. Maybe God had forgotten them, and he hadn't. And then finally, a reminder that even when you doubt, God still moves. Even when you doubt, even when you give up, even when you lose hope, God is still working and active in your life. They had given up hope on a child. But God's plan was going to move forward no matter what. And faith doesn't mean we always understand. Faith doesn't mean we always have all the answers. Actually, it means we have none of the answers usually. Faith means we trust. We trust anyway. I'm going to trust the Lord anyway. I'm going to believe that He has my best interest in mind. I believe that His will is going to be accomplished. I believe that even though it's a dark, struggling, barren, frustrating time in my life, I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to believe that He's still with me, even though it doesn't feel like it maybe right now. I'm going to trust that. Why? Because the scripture is true that God never leaves us, never forsakes us, never gives up on us. He's always with us. He's always with us. And so don't ever believe that God isn't interested in you. Don't ever believe that God is absent, that God has somehow shifted gears to somebody else who's more important, more needy, more whatever. He's with you. He hears your prayers. And so I want to invite you today to consider how are you doing in this season? I don't just mean Christmas season. In this season of your life, does God's plan for your life make any sense right now? And maybe it doesn't. Maybe God's plan for your life is uncertain. Maybe you're confused and you don't know which direction to go. Maybe you're struggling, like, God, what are you doing? I want to invite you to keep praying, keep trusting, keep believing. Stay engaged. Go to Him. Listen. Be faithful. Right? Zachariah and Elizabeth didn't quit being faithful once they realized probably childbearing was done, like, oh, well, forget it. This ain't going to happen, so I'm out. No, they remained faithful all the days of their life. Will you trust Him even when things aren't going well, when the timing doesn't seem right, when you've prayed and prayed and prayed, when you've asked for direction, when you've tried to follow a plan and it doesn't seem to be working? Are you just like, well, this is all wrong, so I'm going to go my own way? No. Let me invite you to lean even more heavily into your faith and the power of God. And then finally, have you considered that maybe this silent season or this empty season or dry period in your life, maybe it's a time for you to prepare yourself for what God has? That maybe God is preparing you in this season for what's to come. Maybe there's good news ahead, that He's going to do a great and mighty thing that you do not expect. And so He's simply asking you to trust Him in the interim, trust you in the meantime. And so I want to invite you this morning, as you think about the unexpected ways that life has a tendency to pile on us, the unexpected ways that God moves in our lives, and sometimes we understand and sometimes we don't, I want to invite you to lean into Him and trust that He is always with you. And so when we stand and sing in just a moment, I want to invite you to come and just pray. Maybe you're in a frustrating season of life, and you're kind of maybe not mad at God. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're uncertain. Maybe you have doubts. I want to invite you to come and just say, Lord, remind me, reassure me, restore my hope in You in this season. Maybe there's something on your heart and mind that's been on your heart and mind for years. I want to invite you today to keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep seeking His wisdom and His direction. Because we have good news. We have good news. We have God with us, Emmanuel, and His name is Jesus. Will you pray with me?